Chelek Yud Aleph, Parshas Yisrei, Sicha Aleph. In this week's Torah portion, we read that Yisrei arrived in the desert in order to join Bnei Yisrael to convert to Judaism and to receive the Torah. In connection to that, we read the following, and Yisrei said, Baruch Hashem, who saved you? In our sages comment that it is seen as a negative that Moshe and the 600,000 did not say Baruch, did not praise God or bless God until Yisrei came and said Baruch Hashem. We need to understand what this means, that they did not say Baruch, because we know that when they crossed the sea, Moshe and Bnei Yisrael, all the Jews took up and sang Shira, praise to God for this miracle. We can't explain this to mean that they didn't sing praise, perhaps, or say Baruch on the fact that they were taken out of Egypt, because this is not what the statement says. The statement that our sages say is that until Yisrei came, they did not say Baruch. We can understand this by first understanding what it says in the Zohar, that until Yisrei arrived and thanked God, the Torah was not given to Israel. When Yisrei came and said, Baruch Hashem, Asher Hitzil Eschem, praise is God who saved you, now I know that God is greater than all gods, he affected the possibility for the Torah to be given in this world. And of course, this seems difficult to understand. Moshe's holiness, Aharon's holiness, and the holiness of the 600,000 Jews until Yisrael's arrival wasn't sufficient for the Torah to be given to Israel? They did not have sufficient merit until Yisrael came and praised God by saying that God is greater than all other gods? The Rebbe says we can understand this by first prefacing the following thought and understanding the following question. How does the Torah introduce us to Yisrael's arrival? With the following words, Vayishma Yisrei Kohen Midyan Chosen Moshe Eskol Asher Asa Elokim. And Yisrei, the high priest of Midyan, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard all that God had done. Now, if we're trying to tell a story that is in praise of Yisrei, why are we speaking about the fact that he is a high priest of the Midianites? Saying this means either that he was a high minister amongst the Midianites, or, and that he was a master idol worshiper. How do either of those statements speak in praise of Yisrei? They seem to be negatives, and the Torah never speaks negatively. So we understand this, the Rebbe says, as follows. By saying that Yisrei was a Kohen Midyan, a minister amongst the Midianites, we're saying that with all the grandeur and greatness of the position that he held, he still chose to come on his own, to go out to the desert, a place of barrenness, to hear words of Torah. And in fact, if we're saying that he was a Kohen Midyan and we're referencing the idea that he was a master of idol worship, and in fact, Yisrei was a master of all idol worship and familiar and a teacher of all idol worship, here too, the Rebbe says, it is still in praise. How so? Because Yisrei's idol worship came from a place of heightened intellectual consciousness and knowledge. He was aware that the stars and the heavenly bodies had a direct influence on the events of earth. While his knowledge was heightened and accurate, in fact, for so is the case, what his error was, and the error of all idol worshippers is that in recognizing that this influence existed in the heavenly bodies and the stars, He also deified the stars and the heavenly bodies, instead of seeing that the stars and the heavenly bodies were simply an axe in the hand of the woodchopper. The heavenly bodies and the stars have no will of their own. They only perform the will of God Himself. Just as the stars and the heavenly bodies are intermediaries in our world, through whom God allows influence into this world to take place, so too in the higher worlds, the Rebbe says, there are these mimutzaim, these intermediaries, who influence events of higher realms. And the higher the mimutza, the higher the intermediary body that there is, the easier it is to mistaken that higher intermediary body for an actual influence and for having its own power, when in fact all of these intermediaries that God has put into place and given influence, whether in the higher realms or in our world, all are simply an axe in the hand of the woodchopper, have no will of their own, and exist only to perform the will of God. Yisrael was an individual who knew all of Avodah Zarah in this world. He had this intellectual consciousness and knowledge of all influences in this world, and saw all these intermediary influences as deities. This was in fact his error, but it also speaks to the heightened intellectual consciousness that Yisrael had. From knowing this, we have a clearer understanding of this description of Yisrael as Kohen Midyan, and the desire or the experience of this as praise of him, that he was an honorable person and that he was a priest to Avodah Zarah, that he had this very heightened level of intellectual consciousness and awareness, and yet he came to convert to Judaism. The Rebbe continues and says that the Zohar gives an explanation on the following verse in Koheles, Pasuk Beis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, where we read the following: V'ra'isi ani sheyesh Yisrael l'chochma min hasichlus, and I have seen that there is a value to wisdom over foolishness. The Zohar's explanation is that this the value, the Yisrein of the Chochmah, is that which comes through the Sichlus, or as we are familiar with it, a Yisrein Ha'or mitoich hechoshech, a value to light that comes through the experience of darkness. The Chochmah of Kedusha, the Chochmah of holiness that is drawn through the Sichlus, through the foolishness, or through the Chochmah of the opposite of holiness, the term Dilu'umas Zeh, that which conceals holiness, that which negates holiness, the opposite of holiness. That Chochmah of holiness, when drawn through that, is seen with greater value and in a heightened level of experience of Chochmah de Kedusha, of Chochmah of holiness. When Yisrael says that he saw Ki Godol Hashem Mikol HaElokim, as Rashi explains it, that he saw that God is greater than all gods, he was arriving with his heightened intellectual consciousness and was able to cause a birur, a purification, in his Chochmah de l'umas zeh, in his knowledge of the opposite of holiness and transform it into a chachma de kedusha, he was able to cause a benefit of light in chachma de kedusha and actually cause that the Torah should be brought down into this world through his bringing an experience of chachma de lu'umaze into the domain of the chachma de kedusha, drawing it through into the domain of the chachma of into the domain of the chachma of holiness. However, the Rebbe says, we know that the preparation for an event has to have a connection to the event itself. And if that is the case, then this in, on its own requires clarification. What is the idea of purifying the chachma of the opposite of holiness so that through it and with it there is some sort of preparation for the giving of the Torah? And the Rebbe explains, and he says that in several places we have the explanation that before Matan Torah there was a decree. The decree was that God had spoken and said, the heavens are the heavens to God, and the earth was given to man. When Hashem wanted to give the Torah, he nullified this decree and said instead that the lower worlds could rise up to the higher spheres, and the higher spheres could descend and merge with the lower worlds, removing, in effect, the separation that existed between Elyonim, higher worlds, and Tachtonim, lower worlds. And so through Matan Torah, a bond was created of the upper and the lower, that the lower would rise up and become one, bonded with the higher worlds, and so too, higher worlds bonded with lower worlds. And in this way, the purification of the Chachma de Lu'umaze, this lowest of all levels, the intellectual consciousness as it existed in the lowest of all lowliness, was brought to a space where it could experience an aliyah, an upliftment into Chochma Elyona, higher intellect. And thereby, this was a hachana, a preparation to the idea of Matan Torah, when higher worlds and lower worlds fused and bonded. The experience of Kriyas Yamsuf and the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf too created the effect of higher and lower merging. Kriyas Yamsuf was a miracle where the water that concealed the earth below it separated and stood still. Thus, concealed worlds, an Alma de Iskasya, the concealed world of the sea, separated and revealed the Alma de Iskalia, the revealed worth, earth, of the Yabasha, of the dry land below it. The sea is referred to as an Alma de Iskasya. It conceals all that is within. The earth is referred to as an Alma de Iskalia. You can see with the naked eye all that is upon it. So Kriyas Yamsuf, in effect, too, was a parting of the Alma de Iskasya to reveal the Alma de Iskalia, a drawing down of the Alma de Iskasya, this concealed world, into the Alma de Isgalia, the revealed world, and an elevating of the Alma de Iscalia, the revealed world, into Alma de Iscasia, a world of concealment. And even though Kriyas Yamsuf was a preparation of sorts for Matan Torah, nevertheless, it was not enough until Yisra came and praised God as he did for there to be a true purification of the Chachma de Le'umazeh, of the wisdom or the consciousness and the knowledge of the opposite of holiness. Why was this? Because even though there was a bonding of upper and lower in the crossing of the sea, in the parting of the sea, and this bonding of upper and lower took place, in fact, in all worlds, the lowest level of the opposite of holiness was not impacted by this fusion of Elyon upper and Tachtein lower. As a matter of fact, we see this expressed in that the Mitzrim who followed us into the parted sea drowned in the Yam Suf. They drowned within the waters. They were lost in the waters of the sea. It wasn't that the waters of the Yam Suf, when they re-energized and flowed once again as water does, purified the Egyptians. No, they were drowned within that water. Purification of the Egyptians would have meant the experience of the Le'umazeh, the opposite of holiness, being mevarer, being purified. But that did not happen. And so there was something that was missing yet in the experience of the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf that was brought to the fore with the coming of Yisrael, arriving in the desert and acknowledging that God was greater, so to speak, that the Chochma of Kedusha was greater, and as he expressed this, being the individual who was coming from the Chochma of the Le'umazeh, the Chochma, the intellectual consciousness of the opposite of holiness. Indeed, because the miracle at the Yam Suf was not complete in this birur, in this rectification of the unholiness, the consciousness in the realm of unholiness, for this very reason, the nation of Amalek were able to come and stand against us in war. It's puzzling to say the least. After this great revelation of light at the crossing of the sea and affecting all worlds and all realms and worlds being aware of this miraculous moment and event where all the nations of the world heard and experienced Kriyas Yamsuf and saw this miracle with their fleshly eyes, because wherever there was water, it parted. How was it indeed possible that the Amalekites would come and fight a war against Israel after seeing this and being aware of this greatness? And the Rebbe explains this as follows. Because the impurities of the opposite of holiness were not purified and uplifted in Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a merging of the higher and lower, but the very lowest of all was not mevarer, was not uplifted, while the negativity, the impurity was broken, it was not lifted and remained in negation to God. It wasn't completely nullified, and therefore there was still the possibility for the nation of Amalek to come with their coldness, with their impurity, and fight a war with the people of Israel. And this is why it says that the Torah was not given despite this preparation of Kriyas Yamsuf, of the Elyonim and the Tachtonim merging, despite this, and the great value and holiness of Moshe and the children of Israel, the Torah was not given until Yisrei came and acknowledged Godol Hashem Mikol HaElokim, God is greater than any other deity of their own making, because only there and within him was this purification and rectification able to take place. The sichlus that existed, this darkness that existed in the opposite of holiness, was turned into a value, a maila, a benefit of chachma, of holiness, through the statement that Yisrei brings with him. And this bond of the lowest level with the highest, this statement and this bond that Yisrei brings with him through bringing who he was into the desert, into the realm of bringing the higher worlds down into the lower worlds, this was the actual preparation for Matan Torah. According to what we have just explained, the Rebbe says, we can understand Rashi's explanation. Rashi asks, on the words Yisrei heard, what was it, Rashi says? What shmua did he hear that made him come? What Yisrei heard was about Kriyas Yamsuf, that Rashi says, and Milchemes Amalek, and the war of Amalek. And there is a question that's asked regarding this. Yisrei had heard and he knew of all the great miracles that took place when they left Egypt. Why wasn't he motivated to come just hearing those great things? Why specifically does Rashi say that he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf and the war of Amalek? And even more than that, why does Rashi refer to it as the war of Amalek? Why not the saving of the children of Israel, or the downfall of Amalek? Wouldn't that have been a better way to say that he heard the miracle of the downfall of Amalek? In fact, however, from this we understand that it was these two things that Yisrei heard, Kriyas Yamsuf, that there was the bonding of the higher worlds and the lower worlds, and Milchemes Amalek, indication that that bond had not penetrated into the very depths of the negative klipa, of that which negated absolute holiness. That's why Yisrei came, and that's why he expressed hoida, thanks and praise to God. In other words, he came to repair and to complete this bond, the zichuch, the purification, and the biror, the uplifting of the opposite of holiness that had not been completed in Kriyas Yamsuf, as was shown in the fact that the Amalekites were able to come and wage war against Bnei Yisrael. In his awareness and knowledge of this, he recognized that he needed to come and bring his awareness and his heightened intellectual consciousness of the opposite of holiness into the realm of holiness and transform that. All of this will allow us to understand another challenging question. It is known that the order of events should always be in a manner of rising in holiness. And it seems, though, that when the Jews left Egypt and then stood by the sea and crossed the sea and then were faced with the enemy of Amalek, that there was a descending experience in their journey, rather than a constantly rising experience of holiness. This war with Amalek caused a big descent in the dynamic energy of the Jews in the desert, to the extent that this war is remembered from generation to generation. But according to our earlier explanation, we can understand how the war with Amalek was actually a reason, and it brought to the ultimate purification of the opposite of holiness through Yisrei, because through Yisrei hearing the events of Kriyas Yamsuf and hearing of the war with Amalek, Yisrei left Midian and came into the desert and brought with him his higher intellectual consciousness, but in the realm of the lowest, and that which negates holiness, and declared his praise of God and awareness of God's ultimate greatness over all else. This explanation also enables us to understand the statement that we discussed earlier, that it was seemingly negative that Moshe and the multitude of 600,000 did not say Baruch until Yisrei came and said Baruch. The word Baruch indicates drawing down. Baruch Hashem, the drawing down of godliness. And so the Shira, the song of praise that Moshe and the entirety of the people of Israel sang, even though this was a very lofty level of service, was not yet within the realm of being able to draw down godliness into the lowest of all low. And through this singing of Shira, they did not affect a transformation in the opposite of holiness until Yisrei came and drew this down and said Baruch Hashem, until Yisrei came and drew down godliness into the very lowest of all realms. And then the Torah was given, and there was the complete bond of Elyonim, higher worlds, and Tachtonim, lower worlds. The lesson from all the above in our personal service of God is as follows. The idea of Matan Torah, of the merging of higher worlds and lower worlds, spirituality and physicality, needs to be a constant in our lives. As a matter of fact, the bracha that we say daily is an imminent bracha, a present bracha. We use the term Noisein HaTorah in the bracha. Not Nosan HaTorah, but he is Noisein, giving the Torah. How do we prepare ourselves, or how can we help ourselves experience godliness, the Elyonim, as imminent constantly in our Tachtonim, in our lower realm, in our physical lives? By experiencing God, Bechol drachecha do'ehu, having this awareness of God in the things that are utterly mundane, the things that are not even within the realm of what we call reshus, permissible, so to speak, in the realm of holiness, but things that are just about the constancy of our lives. And how do we affect this? How do we actually put this into practice? The life of a human being, the life of a Jew, should follow a pattern. The pattern begins with the Maida Ani of a Jew in the morning. the soul's declaration, if you will, Moide ani lefanecha, and then not to become distracted, but rather to continue in a pattern where we acknowledge God's presence and immanence in our lives, in the saying of morning brachas, in the interactions that we have. The process of the day should be one where we don't allow the distractions of the day to diminish us as Jews and to take away from that ultimate experience of godliness in our lives on a constant basis, as an ongoing reality, somehow separating the holiness from the mundane. Our goal is that the holiness fills the otherwise mundane. There is no question that for each individual, the pattern of their day is different. But for all of us, there exists the possibility of remaining connected to that Moide Ani prayer, of not allowing the distractions that take our minds far away from matters of holiness to become permanence in our lives, and to always draw back to that source of holiness, to always draw back to an immanent God and to the constancy of godliness and Torah and holiness in our lives.